The whole idea of the rest of God is something I've been working on for now 61 years. Well, when I was a little kid, I didn't think about it. But as a man, basically 40 years of coming to the place where I know what I'm supposed to do, I know God's love, I feel it, and I'm successful. I'm doing good things. I'm reaching my potential. Because when I was younger, I never worked as I ought to have worked. I was a good athlete, but I didn't grow till later. But I also quit on myself. I didn't care about school. These were all bad things. But once I got to 20 years old, I wanted to be good at stuff and finish stuff and so forth. So I became very ambitious. I became very work-oriented, competitive, all that. And God led me 20 years ago to Pilot Mountain, and I had had an encounter with Jesus prior to that that was real, that knocked me to my knees. And he broke me down and he started to teach me things. And so he sends me to Pilot Mountain, and I think revival. I think, wow, we're going to see God move and hundreds, thousands of people are going to get saved. We're going to flip this town on its head. That's in God. It wasn't in me. But when we did the coffee shop and we did the Taking Back the Streets for Jesus and we did the work and we did the preaching, I became a preacher there in 2006. I became an official, to myself and to others, a real preacher of the gospel. I also was competing with myself and God about this work idea, this idea of like work hard and believe hard and fast and exercise high levels of faith for the sake of revival. Well, it didn't happen back then, 2008, 2009, and then 2011. We have nothing. We lost everything. And we're in a truck going to California with nothing but the crap that's in the truck. We lost the land. We lost the cafe. We lost the position we were in town as far as like being leaders. Why? Why? What was God allowing to happen to his son, Jonathan Keener? And his family, like you look at you beautiful children, you're about ready to have your eighth child as you're driving across the country. And your mother-in-law, beautiful woman, is dying of cancer in Jersey. So yeah, we don't last very long in California. We live in a hotel for 3 months. We live in a beautiful house for 3 months. We come back to New Jersey because she's gone. Mother-in-law's gone. The family's grieving. Great woman. And we spend 2.5 years of absolute struggle, me, trying to find out what to do with myself. Sales jobs, this and that, nothing worked. We had no money. In 2014, end of 13, I'm sitting there like, this ain't working, hun. We gotta get out of here. And I said, there's three places we can go. Texas, because we'd been there before. Pennsylvania, because of where I'm from. And she had her sister living in Pennsylvania. And Pilot Mountain. We spent 6 years there. And she says, Pilot Mountain. So I looked for a job. I got an interview. Took my daughter's car because I had lost everything. I didn't even have a car. And I drove down to Clemens, North Carolina to meet with the owner of Topsider Homes. And after he gave me a first interview. Then he did a test on me, analysis test of my skills, personality. And then he gave me the job. And we found the way with money from our tax return to move the whole family. And it was snow, ice in Jersey here. It was just weird. It was like all the weather of the Northeast was holding us from moving. Then I got sick in the first 2 or 3 months of our move back. And I'm like, what's going on? It's obviously spiritual. It's obviously a battle. I get over the sickness with the help of a prophet who prayed for me, and I got healed, and then never had to deal with that again. I was losing weight. Nothing was sticking to my bones. My body was just weak. But then I got a job with my old neighbor working for his HVAC company, and things started to progress. I got into work again. And then now for the last 11, 12 years, I've been selling stuff for small companies. And business development type things, you know, bringing new ideas, all that kind of work. And then my dad dies 4 years ago, and I realize, again, I get hit with lightning from heaven, and after I leave his ashes, they put him in the ground by my mom in Pennsylvania, and I fall to the ground. I'm all by myself by the graveyard. My sisters went one way, I went another way, and I get hit with something inside of myself. And it's this whole restore the human, go back to Genesis, go back to the beginning, study the first week of creation, focus on Genesis 1 and 2. And then I started doing all this talking and writing about what's it going to take to restore human beings back to the original design in the Garden of Eden, Adam. And I even started doing talks with people that on their shows about restoring the human being, restore the man, restore the country, all those concepts. So then I start building an old website that was Rest, Renewal, Restoration that I was trying to do when we had our land to get people to come and have a cabin and a walk in the woods. All that stuff started in my mind in 2008, 2009. So I pick up the old Rest, Renewal, Restoration idea, which again, three R's, right? Rest, Renewal, Restoration. So it started with rest. And I start building out that website, and I begin the process of developing the theme. And I have the tabs, and I title the tabs. So 3 years goes by, and I start talking about land, farm. We got to take people back to the land, to the dirt. I'm running it by people in town, friends afar, and then my dear friend Danny, who was coming into money and like, I want to help you build that farm. So it became real when he said he was going to get this money in 2025. And so I went out and looked for land, like real, like I have money. And so I looked at one property I loved, 100 acres in Surrey, but that fell through at the end of 24. And in 25, I start looking. And somewhere around May, I find the land that we just purchased in Stokes County. But it becomes, restoring the man becomes Tree of Life Farms. I changed my website to Tree of Life Farms, but it's the same website. It's a thing that God gave me, Tree of Life, because I was reading Revelation chapter 22, where it says that when Jesus is here on earth, there's going to be this river of crystal clean water flowing from his throne, rolling down throughout the earth, and on either side of that river is the Tree of Life for the healing of the nations. It has leaves that every month bear fruit that heals the nations. So 12 times in a year, this tree heals. It's all about healing. It's all about making people right again, making the world right, getting everybody in a right, holy, righteous place. So I have that picture in my mind as I'm looking for land. So I need a little creek or water of some type or sort. And when I saw this land, they said it had a creek, but I couldn't find it. And then, you know, went back several times and went with the real estate people who grew up there, actually played on that land. The woman, she's like in her 70s now, but she's selling the land and she knows the land because she grew up there. And she said, there's a creek down there. And they led me to it. I'm like, oh, wow, this is beautiful. And I saw the tree, this amazing tree, 100 plus year old tree. I'm like, this ties to the vision, a tree and a creek. So now I'm figuring out when can we buy this land? So I make an offer. It's half what they want. They say, no, you're crazy. I can't sell to you for that. I give them my whole executive summary of the Tree of Life Farms idea. They're Christian people. They go to church. The guy who took care of the land, 96, 97 years old, loved God, as far as I could tell. Went to his funeral. He died during this whole process of buying his land. But we were supposed to buy it at the end of October. The money doesn't come through. I have to extend the time. I asked the lady, can we please extend the time? My partner, Danny, in the meantime, we're writing up the paperwork. We're building the corporation called Tree of Life Farms, now called Tree of Life Farms Coalition. It's based in Nevada, but I have to get it set up in North Carolina. I want the Tree of Life Farms to own the dirt. I don't want me or Danny to own the dirt as a trustee. So all that gets done. You know, I need $100 for this. I need $600 for that. I need $1,000 for this. It's all paperwork. It's all just doing stuff without a lawyer, basically. So we get that done. And Danny tells his Bible study group men up in Connecticut that, you know, after we didn't get the money in time to close the deal, he tells them, please pray for Tree of Life Farms in North Carolina. And a man named Steve gets wrapped up in the idea of Tree of Life Farms, and he thinks it's a beautiful idea. And he tells Danny, I want to get involved. And he goes and says, I want to help, maybe a down payment, whatever. A week later, middle of November, he's saying, I'll pay it all. And Danny's crying, call me, tell me this. I didn't even hear the guy's voice. So the rest of God, that's what this whole story is about. The rest of Jonathan Keener, the rest of humanity. So when you study the first 6 days of literal work of God building out heaven and earth and all the things inside of heaven and earth, when you meditate on the mighty acts that are creation, the mountains, the oceans, and then the sophistication of everything, the birds and all their detail and their color and their size and the fish and the big shark and the whale compared to the little minnow that plays in the creek and all the, like the lobster and the crab and the octopus, the diversity and the color. Again, the coral reefs are gorgeous to look at underwater. And you think about the different kinds of dirt, the different kinds of creeks and rivers. And you think about all of that spoken into existence, not with hands, but yet God says he fashioned the firmament as though he built it with his hands, but it was the word of his mouth. But in his making the human body, it's like he made the human body out of dust with his hands. So he gives us this idea. So he makes it all happen, and then he rests on the seventh. Not because he's tired, but because he's happy. Because he sees what he did with six literal human 24-hour days, and he looks upon it and he says, it's very good. He's got the woman and the man tending the garden. They're naming the animals and the birds and the fish. He brings them all to him. He puts everything under his feet on the earth. The giraffe, the elephant, the big creatures, the lion, all under Adam's feet, all having to listen to man because man has the authority, the rightful heavenly creative authority to take care of the earth. And what Adam had at that moment was rest. Perfect fellowship with the Father, perfect union, understanding, clear-headedness, and power. No tiredness, probably didn't have to sleep, whatever, before the fall, before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the trickery and craftiness of Satan. So Jesus' whole purpose of coming to earth, putting on flesh, living a righteously perfect life. Jesus understood rest. Jesus was rest, is rest. Jesus is the rest of God. Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the new birth is about rest. Stop striving, stop trying to be religious, stop fasting to get favor, you know, righteous acts to get favor, sacrificing animals to get favor, baptizing a certain way to get favor, reading Torah over and over and over, reciting prayers to get favor. When Jesus says, come unto me, a human body that's now glorified in heaven, come unto me, walk into me, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the purpose of the entering into Jesus is rest for you, your soul, because your body's going to wear out and die, but your soul's going to live on forever. So it's your soul that matters. It's your soul that needs the ultimate rest. So today, what the rest means at Tree of Life Farms and what this whole section on my website seeks to articulate, and I say it many different ways, but to summarize, rest means to rest in what's already done. You are already done. If you're in Christ, you've been birthed again. You've been begotten of God, begotten of heaven. The throne has chosen you poured spirit into your soul, you now are done. You are complete. You're already seated with Christ in heavenly places, coming down to earth to reign. You're being trained to be a king and a priest unto God. You're complete in every way. Yet, you're still sinful, weak. Your brain don't always work the way you want. You make mistakes. But you're seeking God in the reality of what he's doing on the inside of you. The rest is on the inside of you, at the depths of you. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm speaking to you out of my heart, not my brain. This is my gut speaking to you. This is the Holy Spirit helping me try to lay out what it means to rest. All these bad things have happened in my life, but they're in the past. They're done, but they were effectual to do what? To break me of being the hard worker and testifying of you got to work harder and you got to fight harder and you got to attack Satan head on. Yes, those are all true, but in a restful way, in a smiley, softer way. Like when I'd scream at Satan, I'd be screaming loud by myself in my car, loud tongues, loud fighting. And I'm sure David screamed when he fought all these different evil beings. And of course, Goliath, he probably screamed at him at some point. But what we're talking about here is rest. Rest for Abraham. He walked the land for decades. Then he gets a son. Then God tells him to raise that son and then, you know, circumcise him and then sacrifice that son. And he did it because he was in a state of rest. He knew that if he killed Isaac, God would bring him back to life again because he gave him the son supernaturally. God just has given me this beautiful land. He's given me Tree of Life Farms. He's given me dirt. He's given me a creek. He's given me trees, but a beautiful tree to look at. He's given me thoughts. He's given me a business plan. Hopefully he's given me money to build the whole thing the way he wants it built. Solomon built the temple based on David's design that God gave to him. Solomon knew before he ever built the temple what it was going to look like. David knew because God told him, you can't build it. You built Jerusalem, the city of David, but you're going to have your son build it because you've committed too many murders. You've killed too many people. I just need your son to do it. The one that comes with his union with Bathsheba, who was not his wife. And God takes that son, Solomon, and uses that son to build the temple that the Jews can't wait to see rebuilt the third time right now. So the rest of God is obviously a rest for his providential care. It's a rest in his handiwork in your life, designing your path. It's a rest in your personality and what it is. It's a rest in your gifts and talents. It's a rest in the spiritual gifts you've been given by heaven to do the task, to operate in the function. There's five offices in the body of Christ: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And the only reason you're in one of those offices is to edify the saints for the work of ministry, to spread the word, to spread the kingdom on the earth. We are to spread the good news on the earth. So Paul was constantly moving forward, constantly advancing, going to new cities, but he had to do it under the supervision of the Holy Spirit, the rest of God. So the rest of God is tied intimately and directly with the operation of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit work through you, through your humanity, through your giftedness, through your personality and the way your brain works. People have different ways of processing information, different ways of learning. But you are you, and God made you for himself. He made you to be part of his family. He made you to be a royal entity in his kingdom, to reign with him. So he's chosen you to sit next to him in absolute authority over everything you see right now, over every government, over every force of nature, over the mountains, over the seas, over the weather, over the whales and the Leviathan and the sea, over the largest creature on the earth, over anything that can attack in a negative way. You sit with Christ already in absolute authority, even though you're in a life of struggle. You may have lost a loved one. You may have kids running around doing stupid stuff. Your wife may not like you, or she's leaving you. She had an affair. But in the new birth, in the selection of God of you to be his elect, who he's sanctifying progressively, day by day, hour by hour. He wants you to enter that rest.